song that we just sang. I cannot hear. Can you hear? That song told us if we have sinned and we do not purge the sin, Psalm 51 tells us if we sin like David, he truly committed a very grievous sin. Even though you may be offering up your sacrifices, God will not accept them. That is why, that goes to show to us that our God is not so loose. The same is said in the book of Haggai. The people were all filthy, dirty, unholy. That's why the sacrifices that they offered to God, God did not accept them. So thank the Lord. It was a good thing that David could repent. We all need to repent. David's repentance really touches our heart. His repentance was not very, not done in a very light way, saying, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry, I made a mistake." But he had a true repentance from within him. His spirit and his heart were broken. And he was very sorrowful. Very often, we do something wrong, yet we are not sorrowful. And we even thought that our wrongdoing was not so grievous. So Paul said, "The sin that I committed have offended my God." If you look at the sin that he committed, he murdered, he killed someone, right? Uzziah was killed by him, and then he took over his wife. Now, who did he offend? Of course, he offended man. But you have to see that no matter what sin I commit, eventually you offend God because I violated the law of God. It's God who commanded, saying, "Thou shalt not kill." To kill someone and then to rob or to take over his wife. That is why oftentimes we do not have a feeling within our heart that we have done something wrong, and that offends God. But David had that feeling within him. If you have this feeling, you would not dare to offer sacrifices in a loose way. You need to first repent. And with the repentance, then you can come to offer your sacrifices. Amen? I hope that all of you can see this. Yes. Now, the Bible tells us that these offerings are there in order to help us to experience all the riches of Christ. Not only to believe, not only to come remember the Lord, but you have to eat the Lord into you, and you need to experience Him. And you deal, transact with the Lord Jesus. You handle Him. Many years ago, we said that our Lord Jesus is our good land, Canaan. If your inheritance is a very rich piece of land in the good land, what are you going to do? You need to go sow. And you need to till the ground, cultivate. And get a harvest on your land. You may raise cattle, right? And for all these, it's for you to labor on. Now, on the other hand, what did Paul say? The church is God's farm. Isn't that right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, is the church in Bangkok a farm? Or is it a basketball field? Or are we God's field, God's farm? Of course, we are God's farm, God's field. Now tell me, if we're God's field, what are we going to plant? What kind of a harvest does God want? Tell me. Did not the Lord Jesus Christ say in Matthew chapter 13, He came to be what? He came to be a sower. He came as a sower. He is sowing heavenly seeds. Besides, He's sowing the seeds of the kingdom. Now, if you sow the seeds of the kingdom, once you sow them and plant them, what is going to grow out of it? Of course, the kingdom will grow out of it. Besides, today we are all seeds of the kingdom. We also are seeds for planting. And what grows out of it, the first fruits, the best part, is what would constitute an offering to be offered to God. You cannot just cut a piece of this field and offer this dirt to God. Could you just dig up some dirt and give it as an offering? No. It's for you to grow. All kinds and all types of riches. When we moved over to Southern California, there was a beautiful, big, beautiful tree there. But there were no fruits. Only the birds were enjoying that tree. Truly so. Many birds like that tree. My wife said, chop it off. I said, I don't know how many years it took for this tree to grow so big and so beautiful, and you want to chop it off? I said, let me think about it. Don't be so quick. When winter came around and the leaves were falling daily, in the morning it's cleared up, and in the afternoon the ground was full of leaves. And even if you labor so much, there was nothing to eat. In the end, it was chopped off. And my wife went to plant fruit trees. Now each year we have fruits to eat. There are oranges. There's guava. There's guava. There are apples. There are persimmons. I invite you over to my house for persimmons. And there are also mangoes. And there's also grapefruit. And there are also figs. Not bad. Now, what did we plant in God's field? You say, oh, don't plant anything. It's too much pressure. Don't plant. Everybody just lie down there, right? Isn't it nice to lie down? And you can even quote Psalm 23, "He led me to green pastures." No. You need to cultivate. You need to labor. You need to water. You need patience. You need the sunlight. Right? And you need to take care of it. It's not that simple. It's not simple. That is why in God's field, the field that God has given us, we need to labor on it. Just as how the Israelites labored on the good land, it's only in this way that you would have sacrifices to bring to God. This is only a picture, but we need to experience the reality, right? That is why all these offerings tell us what we should bring to God. Do not be loose, right? If you say anything would do, you bring a pig. How about that? Don't bring the wrong thing. God says to bring a male sheep, a ram, and you bring a female sheep, an ewe. You just go grab a bird somewhere. God says a pigeon dove. And what else? A turtle dove. And you just go grab a black crane. You know, those crows just are saying, "Quack, quack, quack," every day. Do you want to offer up that to God? You don't understand. You don't go read it. And you just bring any old thing The bird says, oh, bring a bird. The Bible says, bring a bird. So we just go grab a blackbird. Do you think God would accept it? Brothers and sisters, you have to learn. The Bible does not use a raven, a blackbird, or a crow to represent the Holy Spirit, but a dove. The crows are very fierce. They're very fierce. But the doves are not fierce. Besides, it has to be a young dove. Because when it's too old, it'll be too tough. If you go to a Chinese restaurant, if you order a pigeon and they bring you an old pigeon, you cannot be loose. You think God is loose? You can bring any bird and it'll be all right? No. There's a dove, and there's a turtle dove, and there's a pigeon. Because the turtle doves do not need, you do not worry about them being old or young, because they're very tender. They were all created by God. Do you think God does not know? He's the expert. He created these things. Don't just bring anything. God does not want that. That is why you see that the Bible is very particular. Besides, there's the difference in the big and the small offerings. Why is it so particular? Because the grace, the portion of grace that we receive from the Lord is different for each one. That is why you should not compare. A big bullock is not something that everyone can bring. Right? If you don't have a big bull, you can bring something smaller. A male sheep, a ram. Besides, you cannot bring those crippled or blind or imperfect animals, and whatever you don't want, then you can bring to God. No, you cannot be that loose. You can give a testimony and you talk about everything here and there. For a testimony, that may still be okay, but if you want to offer as food to God, do not offer loosely something for God to eat. If President Obama from the U.S. would come here, and you invite him to eat at McDonald's, would you do that? That doesn't work. That's why you still need to look at it very carefully. Does this bullock that you bring, is there any imperfection? Is there any illness? If so, I cannot offer it up. So I would choose the best, the healthiest one for me to offer up to the Father. Do you have such a concept in you? But you say that's not necessary. It's okay. God did not say it doesn't matter. Why do you say it doesn't matter? It's not meant to be offered to you. If it is to be offered to you and you say it doesn't matter, it's still okay, right? If you want to invite me to a meal and you ask me what I'd like to eat, usually I would say anything would do. Anything would do. But if you ask the Lord, what should I offer up to you? And you would say anything? If you go grab a mouse or a rat and offer up to God, would that be okay? The food that God gives you to eat, is that just anything? Did God just give you any old thing to eat? Right? Did God give you something, anything? Did He just choose any angel to come down? Did you ever tell people, may the angel be with you? Did you ever say that? No? Now, what He gave to you was not just any old thing. How come what you offered to Him is just anything? Do you dare to do it? I don't. Because I fear Him. I fear and I honor Him. If you do not fear Him, you can be loose. That's your matter. That's your business. But do not teach me to be like you. What we offer to God as an offering to come and worship Him, we need to bring the best. It doesn't mean that the biggest one is the best. But it is the best of what you have. Do you remember the widow? She only had that much money. How much was it? A penny? Is that a lot? A penny? If you give me a penny, I would scold you. Right? How much money do you need? I'll give you a penny. Would you be happy? It's all fair. I'll just give you 1 cent. If you go to the hotel and the bellboy helps you to carry your luggage, and after he brings the luggage, if you give him a tip of 1 cent, it'll be surprising if he doesn't scold you. Because you have so much money in your pocket. Right? But that widow only had that 1 penny. And she offered it up to God. And it was much better than the rich man and the Pharisee who offered up so much money. God didn't even look at that. If you can only bring a small pigeon, or even smaller, a turtle dove, a very small item you bring, you said, would God look down on you? perhaps the person who sat next to you brought a bull along, and he would look at you and say, oh, what did John bring? Brother Kehoe, this big elder, saw this poor John just brought a little thing, and then he would laugh at me. Do you know what I would tell you? Oh, Brother Elder Kehoe, that's not for you. I am offering it to the Father. As it's good as long as He accepts it. Are you afraid that others would criticize you or concerning what you brought? If I just bring this little thing and God accepts it and is well pleased, would I be envious of you for bringing a big bullock? Tell me, would that widow be jealous of the other person who brought so much with him? I don't even have a wallet on me. Do you think this is not the truth? This is the truth. Do not despise a small brother or a sister and the little pigeon that they brought. Do not look down on that. If you look down on that, you offend God. Because first of all, it's not offered up to you. Why should you criticize? It's not an offering for you. It's an offering for the Father. It's as long as He accepts it, it's good enough, right? So brothers and sisters, go read the Word of God well. In the Word of God, He wants to open His heart to us, to show us what is in His heart. Paul also said, we serve God according to the measure that God has given to each part, to each person. We don't need to look down. If you have a bigger portion, you should not be proud. Because it was God who gave it to you, and it didn't come from you yourself. What are you proud about? Brothers and sisters all need to learn this. Don't say, oh, he brings a bigger one, and I bring a smaller one, and he brings a medium-sized thing, and there might be a quarrel. So don't bring any offerings. Stop offering. Is this what the Word of God says? The book of Leviticus did not say that the offerings that you bring all have to be exactly the same. Otherwise, you would be fighting with one another. If there's a fight, if you're afraid there'll be a fight, then don't bring anything. There's no need to have offerings. In Leviticus chapter 1, I will ask you, which verse? You would say, it's verse 52. Now, who wrote verse 52? You wrote it in your dream. So you see, you have to do things according to God's word to experience the Lord. Some are bullocks, some are rams, some are goats, some are pigeons. Sizes are different, but it doesn't matter. As long as it is a real experience of yours. The Father would accept it. If you bring a big one, do not boast. If you bring a small one, do not feel bad about it. You'll be too shy, and in the end, you will not offer up anything. Don't be like that. We all need to help the brothers and sisters in this way, to give them such a kind of help, to encourage them in such a way, and this is accurate. Amen. Thank and praise the Lord. That is why you see our glorious God is so great. He's so great. Since this is the case, that means to say that everyone can bring an offering. Right? You know, the tithe, God's words say that you should bring the top tenth, the tithe. The top 10% of Nico, oh, he hasn't even started working yet. Compared to Sunday's top 10%, is that the same? What about your 10th? Is it the same as Nico's 10th? God said 1/10. But he didn't say each one has to bring $1,000. Oh dear. If everyone needs to bring $1,000, I only have $10. What should I do? But God didn't say that. Each one should bring his 10%. Each one would have his 10%. It's not that everyone has $10,000. But each and everyone would have 10%. Isn't that right? God's demand is only 10%. As long as you bring it, it's good enough. Our God is so reasonable. And he's so wise. And he's so generous. He has such a big heart. He's not greedy. Is our God not like this? That is why when you read the book of Leviticus, you will see there's such a principle there. Why would there be any quarreling or fighting? Why would there be envy If there's some jealousy in you, that's your problem, it's not God's problem. That is why may the Lord have mercy on us and let us learn in a good way, according to God's word, according to the principle in the Bible, to obey God and to offer up sacrifices to our God. That is why the burnt offering is very important. Every offering is important. What does God want you to bring? A burnt offering. Because the most important for a man who is living is to live for God, to please God, to work together with God, to fulfill God's will. So when you pray, the Lord Jesus said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name." So we people, we need to glorify God. My life has to glorify God. Do not say that this is a kind of pressure. Oh, once again, it's pressure. You can't even talk about this. Now, another problem arises. Hallowed be thy name by all. Then what? How could that be? Who is going to live a life that would glorify God's name? We should be that people. If it's not you and I, who should it be? Particularly in the church. The life of our Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this earth was 100% to glorify God. How about us? Do you glorify yourself or do you glorify God? Do you want to please yourself or do you want to please God? So may your kingdom come. Where is his kingdom? How is it going to come? Tell me. When the Lord Jesus came to this earth, it says, repent, for the kingdom is near, because he came to bring in the kingdom. Now, why do you build the church? What are you building the church for? Is it not for the kingdom? You see, it's for the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ for? It's in order to bring down the kingdom of God. Now, your daily living, is it for the kingdom? If I keep asking, you might all run away. Is your will be done on earth? Is that your living? Tell me. The church is a golden lampstand, right? Who is the golden lampstand for? Is it for us? Is it for our meeting hall so that it'll be all shiny? So each week we'll have this bright and shining golden lampstand? Now, if brothers and sisters want to move to another district, if some saints would want to move somewhere close to a university in Bangkok and preach the gospel. Is that all right? Is that all right? If I want to do this and I come ask you, may I do that? How would you answer? How are you going to answer? You say yes. You're wrong. Because you should not be the person deciding that. It has to be the head Christ who decides that. If he says okay, then there's no problem. Go ahead. It's not that if I say it's okay, then it's okay. What if I say okay, but he says it's not okay, then what? In other words, if you turn it around, if he says okay and I say it's not okay, then what? That's why I ask you. Because I know that you would answer whether it's okay or not okay. If you're going to ask me, I would ask you to go ask the Father. I would also go ask the Father. If he says amen, you go. Brothers and sisters, our living is the burnt offering, fully for the will of the Father. It is not a movement, and it is not a work. Everybody wants to be a worker. You know, everywhere you go, that's how it is. It's like that in the U.S. That's why in the end, it becomes a big organized work. We should be fully like the Lord Jesus Christ, to be totally living for God's will. Besides, it's letting him to do it in us. And we also have to live in fellowship with him. If you are such a person, I will not be afraid if you go anywhere, because I know that you will ask the Lord. Because I know you are a person who lives according to the Spirit. On the other hand, I am not the Lord. Jesus is Lord. The head Christ. You know, he is the head over all things. The head over all things is not me. I'm sorry, it's not you either. I don't have that qualification. Do you? None of us have it. It's good. There's only one person. Isn't that great? So everyone needs to learn to listen to him. He wants to do something. The Lord tells you, you have to go do it. Oh, brother. I don't feel so good about it. Go pray some more. After he prays, he comes back again. I feel that the Holy Spirit really wants me to do that. Oh, brother, you know that I'm a responsible brother. I'm older than you. I'm more experienced than you are. I feel that it's not so good. What are you going to do? Do not think I'm joking. I am not joking here. We need to help the brothers and sisters to experience Christ as a burnt offering. No matter what we do, it is all to please the Father. We have to experience Christ as our obedience. It's not to obey me. Whether you listen to me, obey me or not, it doesn't matter. I don't want people to obey me. I want to obey God together with you. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Brother, how do you feel about that? This is very good. Praise the Lord. We're in one accord, with one heart and one mind. It's only in this way we can please the Lord. Now, you experience Him as the one who is fully for God's will. And I also experience the Lord as such a burnt offering. If you have such an experience, then I would have an offering to offer up to the Father. Truly so. Would you like to learn in this way? If you learn in this way, then you would have an offering for the Father. You can begin with small things. If you have to obey the Lord in you, saying, don't do this, then you don't do it. Don't say this. Don't say this. You say, amen. If it would please you not to say it, then I won't say it. From the small experiences, you begin to learn. Otherwise, you just want to learn that in the big things, you won't be able to learn. For instance, if the Lord would say, stop, are you willing to listen? Obey? Be a person who is well-pleasing to the Father. In the Bible, the Lord Jesus said, it should be chapter 6 of John. He always does things that are pleasing to the Father. Whatever the Father wanted, he would go do it. Whatever the Father did not tell him to do, he will not go do it. He will not do it. No matter what people may say. If he knows what the will of the Father was, he would go do it. His relationship to the Father was not because he was a babe. He was a baby and he didn't know how to do anything. The Lord Jesus was 30 years old. He was a full-grown man. He was independent. But he wanted to know what the Father's will was. Do you know that in this day, in this age, in in our age, what does the Father want to do? You need to know. You need to ask. Do not do whatever was done in 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 1 year ago. You do the exact same thing. As if our Father is just like that. You don't go ask. No. I already mentioned it, that within 3.5 years, the Lord Jesus knew exactly what he was to do then and then what he was to do next, what time it was and when he had to go to Jerusalem, and what was he going to do in Jerusalem, that he would be taken captive, somebody would come apprehend him, and he would be judged, and there he would be condemned to death, and then he would be nailed to the cross. Step by step, from the beginning to the end, he knew it all. How about us? What is he going to do tomorrow? And what's the next step? We don't know. Which direction should we go? A few brothers come together. What's your feeling? And he would say, how about you? Oh, how about you? I don't have much feeling. Okay, let's go pray and come back together next week. How about that? And the next week we come together. What's your feeling? How about you? Once again. Still not clear. And we come together again the following week. And 2 months later, are you clear? What should we do? Is it decided? The young people have been asking and asking and asking. And they come again to ask, are you clear? Oh, we are still praying about it. You've been praying for 6 months and yet you still don't know. If I were to have to wait for 6 months, I would pass out. Perhaps our God does not know. Perhaps the Lord Jesus still does not know. Otherwise, why does he not speak to you? You don't know the will of God. How am I going to serve? Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth in order to accomplish God's will. This is the burnt offering. Behold, I come to do your will. Three and a half years, done. I often tell the Lord, whatever work you want me to do, at your coming, I want to have finished the work. For Paul, whatever work that God has entrusted him, he finished the work. He said, I have run the race. And I fought the fight. I won. I fought the good fight. How about you? How about you? You're beating the air. You're beating the air. You keep beating the air and you hit in the wrong direction and you hit the brother's head. If I would just beat randomly, I would hit the brother. I would not be hitting the enemy, but I'll be hitting the brother. Do not think that this is only like a parable. This is my experience of 40 some years. Because I am willing to learn. I learn. If it's right, I learn. If it's wrong, I also want to learn. If I don't learn, then it will be the greatest mistake. You have to be a person who knows God's will. Otherwise, how are you going to do God's will? Right, brothers? May the Holy Spirit confirm it in your spirit. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to experience you. I want to be like you, to live for the Father's will, fully knowing the Father's will. Just as Paul prayed, I want to know fully what the will of the Lord is. Do not be a person who only knows a half-truth. It's good enough just to know a little bit, but you have to understand even more. Discover the new country, a new land. That is why, see, I cannot even finish with the burnt offering. Now the second offering is a meal offering. It's connected to the burnt offering. Because if you want to be a person like the Lord Jesus Christ, you must have the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're so rough, it doesn't work. If you're stubborn, it doesn't work either. You're used to being the head. It doesn't work either. In the end, for everything, people have to come ask you, and you have to be the deciding factor for everything. Do not think that you're not used to it. Tell me, why are those people who are in charge, they do not like to let go? Your toxin here, he doesn't let go. Even though he's out of the country, he still uses his, he still controls it remotely. He also uses his sister. He's used to being the boss. Do not be like this. This is our fallen humanity. Our fallen humanity is like this. It's not simple. Brothers and sisters, learn well. We need the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul used the term the new man. In the new man, Christ is all. They're no longer Jews, Greeks, Scythians, slaves. There's no you and no I. Why should it be like this? You have to experience Christ to replace your humanity. Otherwise, it does not work. He is unleavened. I am full of leaven. For a person who wants to live Christ, he has to be a person who is purging out the leaven. To live is Christ. This is how Paul was. He helped us to see. He wants to be our example. He said, not I, but I live Christ. That is why Paul is a person full of the Holy Spirit, just like the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit was unlimited in him. How about us? We don't even sense the Holy Spirit. Many brothers and sisters ask me, how come I cannot hear and I cannot feel it? You say he lives within me. Where is he? It's because the flesh is like a wall. We are separated by this wall. Between us and Christ, there's a wall. So Paul said, I'm living in this tabernacle, it's as if I am away from Christ. So if I'm always living in my flesh, how can I hear the Holy Spirit? Every day I'm doing things against the Holy Spirit, and I grieve him daily. I quench the feeling of the Holy Spirit. Tell me, how can I live Christ? Paul had the full assurance, I belong to Jesus Christ. I have been crucified together with Christ. It's no longer I. We often talk about the cross, the cross, the cross. We like to talk about the cross. That's good. But why do we still live ourselves? We're still so much alive. If you talk about the cross, you should have died. We talk about the cross, but we still are living the old man talking about the cross. What's the use of that? Paul doesn't just talk about the cross, but it's the cross working in him. Because Christ lived in him. Besides, he had the power of resurrection. If you do not have the power of resurrection, you cannot live Christ. The humanity of Christ. He said, he is the resurrection. I am the resurrection, he said. Now, don't you want the resurrected humanity that is without leaven? It's perfect. This resurrection, it swallows death. And it's eternal. It's incorruptible. Besides, it's not the natural sweetness. It is not. It is different from our humanity. Even though we may be a good person, the Bible says no one is good. Then you're a good, bad person. We need to enjoy. We need to eat the humanity of Christ daily. That is why there are many opportunities a day for you to eat the humanity of Christ. You want to express your flesh. You say, no, I want to live Christ. Lord, you are my life. I want to eat you. And the Holy Spirit will move within you. It will work in you. Because the humanity of Christ, the eating of Christ, the eating of the Lord is in the Holy Spirit. This is what the Lord said in John chapter 6. That is why you need to experience the humanity of Christ to replace our humanity, our attitude, our patience, the true love towards the brothers and sisters. It's not a sweetness, but it is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. All types and kinds. It can also be a long-lasting patience. And you can also bear the burden and not be murmuring there. People may scold you and you do not get offended. It doesn't mean that the Lord Jesus will not get angry. When you should be angry, then you should be angry. But Paul did say that you should be angry but not sin. That means to say that it is not out of the flesh. Because if it's out of the flesh, the words would come out of your mouth scolding people. The various aspects of the humanity of Christ is too wonderful. And there's the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness, His holiness, His attitude. He's willing to lower Himself, not only to be humble, not proud, it's very understanding and compassionate of others. This is the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want such a humanity? Do you have such a humanity? I admit that I don't have it. But I am willing to gain such a humanity daily. It's only then I would have the meal offering. Thank the Lord. Experience this daily. There are many opportunities. You don't need to ask me when. You will know. Besides, the Holy Spirit would teach you. You have to tell the Holy Spirit, remind me when an opportunity arises. You have to remind me, because the Holy Spirit that dwells in you will bring to your remembrance the words of the Lord Jesus. When your tongue is itching to say something, the Holy Spirit would say, go eat the Lord. Go eat the Lord. Then you can control your tongue. Otherwise, you would always cause trouble. Look at our Lord Jesus. Did he talk in a loose way? Is he always just rebuking people? He did not do that. But the Lord Jesus will perfect you. If you're wrong, he will tell you, so that you will repent, for you to learn, for you to change, for you to be saved. He did not scold Peter, did he? Look, find the verse that he was scolding Peter daily. And in the end, because he was scolding so much, Peter left. But the Lord Jesus often reminded Peter of his mistakes. He was not afraid that Peter would say, "I don't want this master. I don't want you for a master anymore. Goodbye. I don't want this anymore." The Lord was perfecting him all the time. This is a perfect humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. His wisdom is unlimited. Oh Lord Jesus, we want to eat you. We want to put you on. We want to live you. Thank and praise the Lord. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity. You experience him to prepare an offering. To prepare an offering. On the other hand, there's one more point. Give me another minute. I don't want to repeat this tomorrow. The humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ can go through all kinds of sufferings. Can we? Only his humanity. Can build the church. You see, in his life, he experienced so many difficulties. All kinds of tests and trials. He was in the oven. Do you like to be placed in an oven? And then you're in a pot with a cover. And would you like to be boiled in there a bit? You cannot jump out of it. If it were up to me, I'll say, "I surrender. I don't want any more. Just a bit, little bit of pressure, I give up." This is our humanity. And then there's a frying pan, like you're frying eggs. This side and that side. Are you willing for that? The Lord Jesus went through all kinds of sufferings. And then after the bread was done, it was to be offered to the Father. It still had to be broken up into pieces, like when we break bread at the Lord's table. Would you like that? Would you like for people to break you up? You don't? We need his humanity. That is a must. It is necessary. Otherwise, even though we may be willing to obey God's will, we are unable to do it. Many brothers and sisters, they do love the Lord, and they're willing to obey the Lord. But when the time comes, they cannot do it, because this is a wrong humanity. You need the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the Lord wants us to prepare the meal offering, not in any old way, because we need this. That is why the Father has such a requirement that you bring a meal offering to me. Actually, in doing this, on one hand, we need to worship the Father. On the other hand, it is to help you. If He does not demand this of you, you will not go have those experiences. Thank the Lord. Amen.